There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
No, you don't understand. I got a prescription for this chain. It's for my glaucoma.
Yeah, of course. Welcome to the Lore Boys, the number one fake.
Nice head, James. Nice head, by the way.
Sorry. Thank you. I poured beer into a little cup, like you might have found in some of the lore today, because we're not doing fake history, we're doing real history.
What? But this is the number one fake history podcast.
Jamie, we're the number four real history podcast. This is not playing to our strengths.
Could you imagine what the number of real history podcasts is? Yeah, we're right up there with Dan Carlin.
Yeah.
Alexander, not so great after all.
Yeah. Hey, Vsauce, Michael here.
All right. I didn't warn anyone to grab the patrons, but if someone could pull those up, I'll do a little bit of stall in here.
Sure.
Yeah, so this is an event that I've heard about on other podcasts and other YouTube videos. It's one of the biggest, funniest things that kind of happened in sports in the mid-70s. So to set the scene... do you guys have the patrons yet, actually, before I guess I dive in?
Yeah, we got Floppy Orphan. Hi, Floppy Orphan.
Hello.
Welcome to the group.
We could be your parents. Can you be less floppy?
Yeah. They'll call me Ethan the Dad Man.
Hell yeah. So the boys don't know what it is yet, so I'll start. I'm pretty sure Ethan knows what it is for sure, and I think Peter might have heard of it.
I'm not a big sports guy, but I've absorbed a lot of pop culture through osmosis, being raised by, like Floppy Orphan, no parents, just The Simpsons.
Nice. So to set the scene, it's 1974 in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, that's a bad start.
Okay.
Yeah. Inflation's in the double digits, and Saucy's parents have just met. No. Yeah. The inflation is in the double digits, and one of its biggest factories in town had laid off most of its workers. So you can imagine it's not a super cool time for a lot of the folks in Ohio at the moment, right. In Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm going to Google, when was it a good time in Ohio?
In Cleveland, of all places?
When Drew Carey shows started. Columbus is nice.
Yeah, Cleveland rocks. He said so right in the theme song.
Yeah, and Mimi's there.
Yep. And you were there, and yep. You were there.
Yep. So there was an upcoming baseball game in Cleveland, Ohio. And the very previous game against the same people in Texas. So it's a Texas versus Cleveland game. The Texas Rangers versus the Cleveland Indians. It was back when they had that unfortunate logo of like the red-faced Indian. Or Native American.
I think they still have it in Cleveland. I'm not sure.
I thought they changed it.
No, I know thinking of the Washington Redskins, the but Redskins Cleveland also did. It's the Cleveland Guardian.
Okay. Yeah. I remember Bill Burr yelling about it or something.
He would.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so the game before the one we're going to talk about, there was a brawl and on Texas's home field, and there's about to be a rematch in Ohio. So with the inflation being really high, a lot of people not being out of work, and
we need a way. We need a way to lift spirits. We need a way to bring people together and get them feeling good for cheap, right?
Oh, wait a second. Is this when they gave away all that free beer or whatever?
Not 10 cents, but Tencent Beer Night, yeah. Boys. Sure.
Yes, I've heard about this. Oh my fucking god! Right,
that's why okay. I poured my beer into a cup like you might find in a stadium.
The clear plastic cup. I get it. Yeah. Beautiful.
Did you have that on hand? I was also wondering. I was like, where did Jimmy get this like clear plastic cup from? But...
My iced coffee that I had in the morning. Yeah. I just like oh. it up, put the beer in. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, it's good. It's I like being crafty with stuff too. So that's a very good. Yeah. Very good
it's
use.
Like when Pete
like
did like macaroni art.
Yeah.
We washed a cup.
So I've seen this covered like on the Dollop, which is where I think Ethan would have heard about it. Yeah. Maybe just in general culture as well. Basically, Cleveland's super mad at Texas. Shit's going bad in their town. Beer's really fucking cheap because they wanted to fill the stands. So all the precursors were in order to lead up to it. It's remembered as Tencent Beer Night.
So. Oh my god.
Yeah, so let's go way back a little bit. So just so you know, there's been even a nickel beer day in 1971, and that was just a cool, everyone got drunk and everything was fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So they thought, well,
why, so this one will be good said? Too.
Yeah.
This one will be good and calm too then, right?
Yeah, 74 is this one. So this is only 3 years later.
And yeah, here's twice the inflation. Inflation though. Is out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah. With for inflation, I think it comes out in 2022, 58 cent beer.
Yeah, the inflation rate in 1971 was 4.38%. And then in 1974, it was 11%. Oh, God, get it together, guys. Holy right? fuck.
So,
holy shit.
As someone who is trying to look into getting into the housing market after COVID, it feels probably quite the same. Everything just seems so hopeless and so crazy expensive. And then they jack up interest rates to combat inflation, which is anyways
yeah, this is 72 cent beer now,
yeah,
by comparison, which would be absolutely nutty if a place is giving away beer for 72 cents. Like that is insane.
The cheapest I've had it before, I've had dollar beer night at a cheap bars
that, like sporting events, you get a tall can for $13 or whatever.
Yeah, right? One of the dollar nights, I had to be an employee at the bar too, like just to get that deal. It's not often that you can find what's the cheapest beer at a bar? Well, I know you went got something for free in Las Vegas, but what about paid?
Like $4 pints at our local dive, or back in the olden days, like at Cock and Bull, the 4 liter pitcher for $20.
But that's the olden days. That doesn't exist anymore, man. Like I think it's like you could probably get at happy hour, you probably get $4 or $5 pint, but that's the Sanka set.
When I started my job 8 years ago, we would go to Fofun Electric on Fridays. I think they also had $5 liter pitchers.
Yeah.
So you could go with the $20 in your pocket, and if you're willing not to tip, you can get 4 liters of beer.
You got to tip at Fofun. I got thrown out of there once.
Me too. More than once. Yeah.
Probably
did.
Pay like $10 cover to get upstairs, and then you like just have to drink 10 beers to make it for the value proposition, right? Yeah. So you're always feeling like shit the following day.
And you have to drink it before midnight because midnight the prices go up. Yeah.
It's kind of like there's bands up there sometimes. They have emo nights. Yep,
they would do shows every now and then too.
I saw it every time I die there. I broke my ribs.
Nice. I think I saw Protest the Hero there 1 year.
Yeah, I saw Protest the Hero there once or twice. Saw some friends' bands play there. Rosewood, Great Gardening. Oh, I'm wearing my Great Gardening shirt right now. I saw their farewell show was at Fuffs. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One of my buddy's last shows, he opened for Every Time I Die. That's why I was there. It's very much like support your local scene sort of thing. There.
I'm sure I was at that show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's so funny. We were in the same room, and I don't know if we noticed.
I don't know.
Yeah. So the Cleveland Indians, they had previously organized similar events without any problems. Like I said,
how many times have they been to Fuffs?
Cleveland Indians, I don't know. Actually, the Guardians come every weekend, but back in then, I'm not sure. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, there's a fight between their teams at the previous match in Arlington Stadium in Texas, which angered many of the Cleveland fans. So there's a grudge already building against the Rangers because the Rangers, I'll explain what happened. The trouble started in the bottom of the fourth inning when Rangers Tom Greve walked and Lenny Randle hit a single. So you have two on the bases.
Okay.
On the first and second base. And the next batter hit a ball that should have resulted in a double play. But Randle disrupted the play with a hard slide into second base, causing a commotion. So he, like, just rammed into the second baseman. Like, he came in full force. Yeah. So it wasn't a cool move.
In bird culture, it's considered a dick move, as the Rick and Morty would say.
Exactly. Exactly. In retaliation, the Indians took action in the bottom of the eighth inning. So they waited four innings whenever pitcher Milt Wilcox threw the ball close to Randle's legs. So he's just like chucking them real close to his legs. Randle's like getting pissed off. And eventually,
hey, on my legs.
Yeah, this is like the baseball version of chirping, where you're just like whipping balls at each other.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart, my bat is up here.
Yeah. Like 80 miles an hour, right at the knees, kind of thing. You know, it's
like 80, like 99.
Yeah, I'm always wondering. Maybe in the 70s, I feel like they must have been slower.
I feel like they were probably throwing slower.
Oh yeah, hang on. Hey Siri, when did people start using steroids in baseball?
Oh yeah, that'd be another good episode. And
she's just giving me the next game. It's tomorrow at 8. Never mind.
They never stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so it's how they were measured. So they were slower, but in the 1980s, an 85 mile per hour fastball would probably be more like 93 miles an hour. If measured properly with the tools we have today, it's essentially like they would use a speed gun, which would kind of measure the pitch in flight. Whereas they can be so accurate, they detect it like the second it leaves the hand, basically.
Yeah. All right.
So like at its max velocity before air resistance.
Velocity, the direction, and the speed.
There's a great XKCD what if on what would happen if you threw a baseball at the speed of light. And it's essentially like by the time it reaches the pitcher's mound, it's set off like an explosion, like on par with like a neutron star exploding or something like that. Like at least an atomic bomb. Like it's just like, yeah, because it's so much mass. Like a light particle is obviously basically weightless. That like throwing that much mass that fast is just like enough energy to just destroy like an entire city.
That's awesome.
So this pitcher's chirping the guy. He's throwing balls at
he's chirping the guy
million inches a second, and he's chirping the guy evaporated.
Exactly. Because the last runner was fucking with the laws of thermodynamics, so he decided that who could play at that game, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Randle was being a dick. He slid it really hard into second, like basically just ramming into the person who was on base. So now when he's up for bat, the pitcher's having a little bit of fun and throwing it at inaccurate speeds towards his knees, kind of thing. So Randle eventually just bunts the ball, and Wilcox, who's the pitcher, grabs the ball and tags him out. And then Randle goes and just like butts him with his forearm like that. And this led to a good old-fashioned brawl.
Match.
Yeah. The Indians first baseman John Ellis punches Randle in the face. The bench is cleared. Everybody's going crazy. But once the brawl is contained, the Indian players and coaches return to the dugout. They were targeted with food and beer being thrown by the Rangers fans down at them.
Of course.
That happened on The Simpsons. They like knock a guy out by pelting with pretzels. Right? It's just he's trying to calm down the crowd. Oh no, here come the pretzels.
It's Mr.
Just
Burns, like... right?
No, it's not Burns. Mr. Burns. It's some other guy, but I think it's at the game where whatever the Isotopes play against like Shelbyville. Yeah. And he's got the full team of ringers, but something horrible is like 9 different tragedies befall his entire team.
Yeah, exactly. Daryl Strawberry with like eating the super tonic juice or whatever makes his head.
No, Daryl Strawberry is the only guy who makes it because he replaces Homer.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
And they're like just saying like Daryl from the stands. It's like kids don't do that. It's like he can take it, mom. And it's just like close up on him. He's like crying quietly.
Whenever we were in university, we were really bad because like we had the technology. Like, someone has their name on their back. You can go to the universities. Like, let's say they're from McGill. Then you go to McGill and you check the lineup. Now you have their full name.
Oh, Lord.
Now you type it into Facebook and you type in their full name plus their school. So you have their Facebook profile. Now you have access to their parents' names, their cousins' names, their sisters' names. And you can just start really digging in deep on the church.
Cyberbullying for cyberbullying at a sports game.
Yeah, like while they're on the field. There's this one guy who just loved saying, "I fucked your dad." And he would always and like find the
list
people.
Out your dad's name. Like,
yeah, exactly. Hey, 37, I fucked Frank.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. So it's only gotten better. You guys can check out their TikTok or whatever the new stuff is.
Yeah. Don't be on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
it's your own fault. If you're on social media, you're inviting this kind of behavior. So get off of it.
Yeah. So luckily no brawls ever happened at university when we said we wanted to fuck people's dads, but there was that brawl, the food and beer piling into the dugout. So catcher Dave Duncan had to be restrained from going into the stands to confront the fans. Like, he's like, "Let me at him." And then they're like, "No, come on, man. We're in Texas. Everyone's got a gun. Let's just fucking chill." But despite the incident, the game was not stopped or forfeited. No players were ejected, and the Rangers won 3-0.
Okay. Is that low? Like, I don't know anything about baseball, but I know that, like, it's 1 point per person on base, right? So when you load them, you've got a guy on 1, 2, 3.
It's 1 point per person that gets to home.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can have three people on base, and if your batter then strikes out, then you get no point. For that you go to the next inning.
There are much higher scoring games, but it's not like an unusual game.
Exactly. There's much higher scoring games, but you also get low scoring games. It kind of depends on the teams and the matchups and a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah. I guess I'm used to hockey where when it's like, 7-4, you're like, where was the team's goalie? How'd they get seven fucking shots? seven goals.
We're going to talk about two games today. The first one was 3-0, and the second one ends up being 5-5. So you can have easily a much higher score.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, just plugging in my headset.
How dare you?
I like to imagine in the dugout, because I've been watching a lot of marine stuff, a lot of boat stuff recently.
To imagine they fill the bottom with water and they put little fish in there.
No, sort of, yes. Yeah. Everybody's shoes, they have disco shoes with goldfish in them. No, I was more imagining just the scene in Titanic where the water comes down the stairs and Jack and whatever the girl's name is in that.
Rose,
thank you. And they're running down the hallway from the torrent of ocean water coming up behind them. If it was baseball players running through a dugout and there's just a bunch of hot dogs and pretzels,
and beer,
a big wave of beer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you talked about pretzels like crushing that person in The Simpsons or whatever. Like, Pittsburgh fans are known for throwing batteries. Like, that's the thing the fans in Pittsburgh are known for, is whipping batteries.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to our battery chapter a little bit later.
Thank God.
So despite the incident, the game was not stopped or forfeited, like I said. So the Rangers won even after the whole brawl. And after the game, a Cleveland reporter asked the Rangers manager, Billy Martin, if you would bring protective gear to Cleveland. They said, "Are you going to bring your armor?" And Martin said, nah, there's barely enough fans in Cleveland to fill a stadium. There'll never be enough fans to fight back after this whole thing.
You could sell beer for 15 cents. No one would show up.
Exactly.
Billy Martin, a super, super interesting person, kind of reinvented baseball in a lot of ways in the way that he managed his teams.
That Moneyball?
No. I never saw the movie, but...
It's good.
I think I know the premise of Moneyball. It wasn't that. It was more he was always like this. He was always very showy. He'd tell his players to get in people's face and stuff. Very interesting person if you watch some stuff on. Had a very storied career in baseball.
So he had a play. Okay, at Moneyball, the whole thing was instead of spending your whole budget on one big player, get three players whose numbers add up to more than that one big player kind of thing.
Yeah, no, Brad Pitt plays Billy Bean. It's a different Billy.
A B-Bean.
Right. But then it's not Brad Pitt who did the thing. It was Jonah Hill. He was the real man behind
it. Was his idea. Yeah.
Anyways, so in the week leading up to the team's next meeting in Cleveland, comments made by sports radio talk show host Pete Franklin and Indians radio announcer Joe Tate further fueled the animosity. Everyone's like, there's a big old brawl.
Grudge match.
Yeah, everybody show up and let's fuck them up.
It's a beautiful day at the stadium today. You'll notice that all entrants will be receiving a ladder to throw on the pitch at a time of their choosing. So.
Yeah, these aluminum ladders have been provided by Home Depot, sponsor of today's game.
For the fans in our premier boxes, of course, we can have an indentured servant throw the ladder for you if you don't wish to sully your hands with the touch of aluminum. was that good, sir? Was that ladder toss to your satisfaction, sir?
Mr. Carson from fucking what's that Downton Abbey, like throwing a ladder onto a baseball pitch?
Yeah, some newspaper also got in on amping up the folks, called the Plain Dealer newspaper, published a cartoon on game day featuring Chief Wahoo, the Indians mascot. It's like the red-faced, horribly stereotypical Native American.
The one they got rid of.
Yeah, the one they got rid of. Good thing. Yeah. And he was holding boxing gloves with the caption, "Be ready for anything."
Chief Yahoo?
Wahoo.
Wahoo, I'm sorry.
Wahoo!
Yeah, like, no, Wahoo Mario. Is the evil one, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Mario is also not red-faced, but he does wear a red suit.
He does. Yeah. The Cleveland red suits, and they're all just Mario.
They're all Mario, yeah. Yeah. Wearing denim overalls to a baseball game.
God. All right, so now on to the game. And then the first section, which is titled Problems from the Beginning.
Oh, this is always the best. Everything like fucking like Fire Festival and Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
When there's like a riot tragedy, it never just like occurs. It's the whole thing has to have been fucked from the start, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. So 6 days after the Texas brawl, Cleveland's about to have the game. They promote it. It's 10-cent beer night. We need as many people as we can in here. And they attracted a crowd of 25,134 fans.
My God.
Twice the expected number.
25,000 unemployed, drunk Clevelanders.
Yep.
Or Clevelandians? What is it?
For a baseball game, you're there all day, right? Like you're locked in for hours, right? So you go in the afternoon.
Yeah. They expected like half as many too, so they only have 50 people working security.
Good luck.
Yeah. This is a lifeboats on the Titanic scenario.
Yeah. Skill issue security guards.
Yeah.
What's that ratio? 50 to 250 or 50 to 25,000. It's like you have to deal with 500 people each? No.
You can divide the entire thing by 50.
2,000 each, right?
2,000 each.
20, yeah, or 500 each, excuse me.
500 each, okay.
Yeah.
So it's too much for any one person, I'd say. But so the promotion, you get a 12 fluid ounce cup, also it's 355 mils. That's like a normal
beer can.
Okay. So at any time, you're allowed to buy six at once.
Six at a time. Yeah.
You can only buy six at a once. And that's not your limit, though. You can come back as many times as you like and buy six beers.
Hey, whoa, buddy. What do you mean eight beers? Come on, you're one person. Take six like a normal.
You don't want to twist your ankle carrying six up the stadium because you won't be able to come back and get six more for 60 cents.
You're
buying six packs at a time, right?
In one of the videos I watched, too, they mentioned that the people who are serving the beer were like scantily clad 17-year-old girls in the 70s, because 70s.
Yeah.
I would hate to be any of them. They end up leaving at a certain
for
point.
For sure, yeah.
Because it's
that
just
many,
too dangerous.
That many drunk hooligans? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Poor underage girls.
Although, it'd be pretty easy for like a guy who was feeling horny to just think about baseball, right?
Is that what they do? Yeah.
That's like a trope, at least in like some movies and television show. Like, oh, if you're trying to suppress a boner, So just think about baseball. Just think about baseball.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Just think about baseball. Think about baseball. They're like literally at a baseball game just staring at underage girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, at any given time, for just 60 cents, you can walk away with basically 2 liters of beer.
Yeah.
A little over.
A full six pack of beer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it wasn't great at the beginning because the Rangers took a commanding 5-1 lead.
Uh-oh.
So Cleveland's dealing with this the best they can by just keeping going back and buying some more beer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many 60 cent six packs does it take to turn a regular person into a like blind with rage cannibal, do you think, at a baseball game?
I was looking at, let me see if I can find it. There was people who were there. They're like the notable attendees. NBC newscaster Tim Russert, then a student at the Cleveland Marshall School of Law, attended the game. I went with $2 in my pocket, recalled the Meet the Press host. You do the math. So he can have 20 beer, you know?
I like this this pile of Coke and beer cans that you showed in black and white that looks like discarded artillery shells from like a World War II photo.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like it's 24 inches deep of just cans.
Yeah. Wait,
some of those say Jim Beam.
So I don't know if this is from the show, but or from the actual day, but it's a picture that comes up whenever you search the thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Victoria Bitter, Coca-Cola.
It does mention the brand of the beer in the article.
Wait, this can't be real. Right? This can't be from that. There's a can of Coke Zero there. That didn't come out in the 70s.
Okay. Well, yeah. Don't pay so much attention to it. When
did Coke Zero come out, Mr. Coke Zero lawyer?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I'll find
probably
out.
Not the 70s. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I just took a picture of my apartment and I just put it in black and white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 2005 is when Coke Zero launched.
I just said that.
Oh, I missed it. Sorry.
Well, you weren't listening. You're too busy Googling yourself, huh?
I was listening to Jamie.
So, there we go. It is fucking starting to get a little wild. Rangers are pulling ahead. Early on, Cleveland's Laren Lee hits a line drive that struck Rangers pitcher Ferguson Jenkins in the stomach, causing him to drop to the ground. And the fans went wild. Hit him again! Harder! Fuck him up! Just a guy gets pelted in the stomach by by like a very fast moving hard ball, and yeah, people are eating it up. So the picture that I saw is the woman that you see there. I don't know if this is the actual woman. Maybe you could look up her birthday, and it's 2005. I'm not sure.
I mean, this picture looks like it's authentically from the 70s, just the way she and the police officer are both dressed.
The cameraman in the background, too, with like the pinstripe dress shirt and the tie, the wide bottom tie.
Camera. Yeah.
This picture comes up a lot and is often associated with a woman who ran on her onto the field after the guy got hit in the stomach, revealing her breasts to the Indians on deck circle.
Wow.
Not
the type of girl I'd picture. Not the type of lady, I should say.
Yeah. Well, in the 70s, too, like the retellings of the story, they call her a fat lady. She's big for the 70s, but she's not.
Somebody just posted a meme. The Saucy just posted a meme like minute or 50 minutes ago in the memes channel, which is fattest man in the world back in 1890, and he's probably like 250 pounds.
Yeah.
like probably less, because he's probably quite short, right? Yeah. So
these processed foods let us hit new records all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Seed oils.
We're becoming the best humans we could be.
Yeah.
So yeah, nice lady runs onto the field, reveals her breasts, and tries to kiss the umpire Nestor Chilak, who was not in the mood for kissing.
Okay.
He didn't want to take off the cage mask to get a good smooch in.
No means no.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tom... Oh, sorry. My headset went dead.
Fat chicks, right?
Fat chicks, yeah. My base. And he's like just sitting there. He's got like the 2-3 like finger symbols they do.
bigger ladies, if you'd like to kiss, you call me, all right?
Jimbo.
Call Jimbo. Meanwhile, as Tom Grieve hit his second home run, a naked man sprinted to second base and slid in, leading
to... Did he kiss the umpire?
No.
I wish.
Yeah, the umpire just threw off his mask that time.
the newspapers love to make jokes about dirt getting into uncomfortable places for this guy.
Okay. Naturally. Yeah. They call him fat?
No, he was pretty thin. I saw a picture of him naked running.
The fat cork.
Yeah. He's in pretty good shape. In the following inning, a father and son duo ran onto the outfield and mooned the fans in the bleachers. I like the father-son duo. I can't imagine doing anything like that with my father.
I like how we're getting, like, how the ante is being upped in, like, really nice, like easy to understand little like brackets where it's just like you've got partial nudity of like a woman showing her tits, then you've got a fully nude man, you're like, okay, where can we go from? Then you've got two men's butts. All
father
right
and son. It's his father and son butt.
Yeah. What next, you'll right? ask.
Well, it started to sound like a war zone. Despite the unclear motivation, many fans brought firecrackers to the game and started igniting them in the stands or throwing them onto the field.
There's a pretty clear motivation there, which is...
I know what the motivation is, yeah.
They wanted to light them in the stands and throw them onto the field.
Yeah, but some people are, like, throwing them at themselves and stuff. Yeah, I guess, yeah. You know what?
That's the motivation.
Yeah. By the way,
throwing firecrackers at our friends.
if we were still recording in person, let's say we're at your apartment, Jamie, and I had a firecracker, in this moment, I would light it and throw it at you. That's all the motivation. That's all the motivation I need.
I invited Scooter to your barbecue today, by the way, and he said he's probably going to come. And this is a guy I met, one of my best friends in university. I was out the back of my own apartment, lighting firecrackers and throwing them into a busy party where they would just blow up at people's feet and people would go run and scream. And someone came and asked me, like, dude, like, whose house is this? I'm like, it's my house. Just keep throwing the firecrackers in. And it was the beginning of a very good friendship. And I've since lit firecrackers and thrown them onto Scooter while he's sleeping. We have a good relationship. So hopefully we'll bring that kind of energy to your party.
So the thoughts that you have there, throwing firecrackers onto a sleeping Scooter, it's the exact same motivation the people in the Cleveland stands have.
I finally get it. Danny DeVito finally understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I get it.
I like this one. Because I got extra info. I went digging on it. So it's Rangers first baseman Mike Hargrove was targeted with hot dogs and spat at. He went on record in a newspaper to say it must have been 20 pounds of hot dogs that were thrown at him.
How much does one hot dog weigh? How many is that?
Less than a pound, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like a whole pack of 12 is maybe a pound, right?
I have the weight in my fridge if we really care. I could go get check, but...
I can just Google.
Yeah.
Check on the break.
Yeah. That's a lot of hot dogs, man. It's probably, yeah, but they're longer. They're big ones at the field too, right? You get footlongs.
Oh yeah.
Mm. But anyways,
it gave me ounces. Fucking Americans, I don't know how to convert this to pounds.
12 ounces is 355 milliliters. How many milliliters of hot dogs?
It's fluid ounces. I don't know if it's direct.
I know. Yeah. So. Another thing that almost hit him was an empty gallon jug of Thunderbird, which I'm not sure what that is. I think it's a type of wine or something.
Cheap liquor, yeah.
Thunderbird. But yeah, so it's just a big old glass jug just like flies by him along with 20 pounds of hot dogs. Like that the gif of that girl with her mouth open and all the hot dogs bouncing off her face. Like
That's Lindsay Ellis. She's one of my favorite YouTubers. Thunderbird is a 17.5% American wine.
Yeah, okay. So someone's drinking wine by the gallon jug and tosses that down too. Because the 60 cents for six beers wasn't enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also
you got a pregame before your 10-cent beers, right?
It's also mentioned too, since this is the mid-70s, after like a certain point, everybody just starts lighting up joints.
Oh, beautiful.
It is the time.
Before Reagan's war on drugs, right?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So I did check. The president was actually Gerald Ford. This is just after Watergate.
Hey, Homer, do you like pizza?
and football.
When
yes,
I was
Mr. President.
When I was looking in the preamble or whatever of like the stuff leading up to this crazy event, Watergate is mentioned in a lot of the articles.
Right. It's probably why inflation was 11% because the fucking president had to resign after being stitched up by the CIA and spying on the Democrats. Fucking Christ.
I didn't know enough about it to talk about it, so I'm glad.
It's fascinating. Yeah.
Hey, this is like a big release for all the people of the nation who are so concerned about Tricky Dick, right? And his antics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They need an outlet.
Yep. Yep, I get it.
Beers at a time.
Dude, when I found out about Hillary's emails, I was drunk for a month.
This is the lamp.
Yep. So the Rangers disputed a call in which Lee was ruled safe in a close play at third base, with Lee accidentally spiking Jenkins with his cleats, forcing Jenkins to exit the game.
Well, let's go to the actual replay here. Looks like he's sliding into third. Oh, there goes a hot dog. Oh, seems he doesn't touch the base. The hot dog intercepted his foot onto the plate. So, just squishes in between his foot where he's like sliding in on the plate.
Oh, man. I wonder, you know what? I would count that. I think we say like it's touch pad or like electricity rules. If your foot could conduct through the hot dog, you know, like it would still light
only
up.
Only conductive materials. If I throw a rubber chicken. It wouldn't. Wouldn't get the base.
And it would be extra funny.
Well, let's slow down the rubber chicken play. Thanks to Kodak sponsoring this one. Yeah, the rubber chicken at 10,000 frames a second.
Yeah. We've got the umpire. Your. Anyway, I think the bot keeps cutting us out.
The sound gating might cut that one out. Yeah. Cut
the bot, out Discord sound gate. Yeah. You guys got to do a better rubber chicken, assuming I didn't cut out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Watergate? More like sound gate. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, just scream in the mic.
Great audio. I mean, you're living up to the content of the episode.
That's right.
I love all the live Googling we get to do on this one. It's very fun. Like, oh, how much does a hot dog weigh in 1974? I need to know.
So the Rangers protest because they were mad about the play because the hot dog blocked him. And they're like, hey, it's touchpad rules. And they're like, hey, but what about the rubber chicken? Would that count?
Yeah.
And so they're all angry because everyone has a different opinion on it. Uh-huh. So the Cleveland fans start throwing objects onto the field. So there's lit firecrackers now going into the Rangers bullpen.
Excellent.
Naturally.
Yeah. And the
If I had firecrackers, I'd be twisted fire jada. I would be throwing them at the dugout for sure, right? Like that's the bullseye. If the field, I guess actually the pitcher's mound while a Ranger is pitching, if I'm a Cleveland fan.
Yeah.
Would be the bullseye, but like that's the dugout. The dugout's like the 20, which you want to shoot for anyway, right? You don't want to shoot for the bullseye.
You just reminded me of this shithead kid we used to go to camp with. He'd be like, his name was Troy, and he always wanted us to light firecrackers. And he had a talk like that. Boy, where the firecrackers? Anyway, he didn't say his own name, but if he did, it would sound like that. The Rangers protest the call. They start the Cleveland fans start throwing firecrackers into the bullpen. The atmosphere is getting worse and worse because now it's starting to get really smoky from all the firecrackers and marijuana and cigarettes too. I'm sure they can smoke cigarettes wherever the fuck they want in the 70s.
You could smoke in a restaurant until like 2001 here. Like there's everybody's fucking smoking, definitely.
I remember my mom smoking in restaurants all the time. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, as kids, it was always smoking or non-smoking. Right? Like that was
The smoking section was just like one step higher behind some glass
or a little half wall, right?
Yeah.
A little half wall to the smoker section.
It was like, it was actually kind of like the first, like COVID we tried kind of half wall in between you. Like it's not going to do fucking anything. We put up half a glass wall there.
We put up a 3x3 sheet of plexiglass in between you and your coworkers. Back to the office drones.
Yeah. Does air go around the plexiglass? Like, I don't fucking know. I'm not a doctor.
doesn't matter. Government said this is what we have to do.
Exactly.
Well, secondhand, if you're so worried about secondhand smoke, why don't you wear the mask? It's like,
straight up.
Anyways. By the seventh inning, most families and sober fans have left the stadium for their own safety. They've left behind, like, anyone who's left by the seventh inning, like, they're part of the problem, basically.
Wait. Oh, okay. Anyone who it remains.
Who's remaining.
Yeah. Who's left.
I was like, why are the people who are leaving the problem? They're helping us.
I was thinking, like, what, the designated drivers all left and it's their fault? What are you fucking talking about?
Oh, yeah. The people who remain.
They should have stopped it. See something, say something.
Yeah.
No one's seeing straight if you're still here. So as sports writer Paul Jackson described it later, the demand for beer surpassed the stadium's capacity to serve it. So now
frantic high schoolers trying to fill cups, right? Like all these belligerent drunks.
Yeah. Basically all of the 17-year-old girls also left because it was just becoming too much. They were probably being harassed in ways that you could get away with in the 70s and
like undo a lock with a broomstick so they can like let the drunks in and then also escape
and also leave it. Yeah.
This door will lock behind us, but we need to unlock that one. Don't worry. And like,
So this actually now the beer was no longer in the stadium, but it was behind the outfield fences. All the beer trucks were just directly giving beer now. There's no one serving it. And at this point, they can't even, there's so many
people.
Straight
for the tap. You're just like parked under like a 4-inch faucet. You're just like mouth agape. Like, okay, turn it on. Like waterboarding yourself.
You joke, but it said that some people started getting beer for free. Some people stopped bothering with cups. They went straight to the tap.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's manna from heaven, though. Like from the truck. That's where beer comes from.
Yeah.
Suckling from the truck udder.
Yeah.
You've heard of truck nuts.
Yeah, there's one drunk guy like on the tap. There's another guy just with his mouth around the exhaust. Like,
it's like a semi. You'd have to climb onto the top. I would love to have been the guy driving the Budweiser truck at this, who just like, whatever. I imagine he just like has a latch on the inside of his truck. He just cranks it forward and like the back end of a dump truck opens up and just booze.
You know, he's just smoking up his cab, just like sitting there watching everyone like
firecrackers through the fence.
So the company beer I found it is Stroh, Stroh.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the decision to just take it to the trucks further escalated the situation because they lined up in rowdy queues to refill their cups from the industrial spigots or to drink directly from the industrial spigots.
See, I thought they were going to rip down the fence. I thought that's where, because for me, I'm like, what? I've never been part of a riot, so I don't know the actual, like, the anticipation is killing me. And I'm just like, okay, so the teenagers leave. At which point do they rip the fence down? Capsize the beer truck and then eat the driver alive
so
this does kind of feel like a zombie movie, right? Like the girls in the vendors or whatever, like standing behind, like they've pulled down like the aluminum curtains or whatever
to shutter,
like close it off. They're just like banging on the aluminum.
Yeah, so we haven't started the riot yet, but it's about a paragraph away where the subtitle, The Riot. But in the bottom of the ninth inning, the Indians make a miraculous comeback, tying the game. They went from 5-1 to 5-5, so they were losing to tied. And we got Rusty Torres on second base, representing the potential winning run. However, with a raucous crowd that had been heavily drinking through all nine innings, the situation eventually reached its breaking point. And more on this after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right. So welcome back to the Lore Boys. We have described all the things leading up to the riot that was made famous on the 10 cent beer night in 1974. So now it's time to dig into when shit went off the rails. So after the Indians managed to tie the game, remember they came back from 1-5 to 5-5.
They got a man on second base.
They got a man on second base, but a 19-year-old fan named Terry Yurkic ran on the field in an attempt to snatch the Texas outfielder's Jeff Burrows cap. Burrows stumbles while confronting the fan.
I don't want to win the game, but I really wanted that guy's hat.
Yeah, of the opposing team, too.
Yeah, I wanted his hat because he's an asshole, man.
So Burrows, like, while the guy's taking his hat, he wasn't expecting it, and he stumbles. So if you're Texas manager Billy Martin, who likes to take action on things, this looks like a fight breaking out, not just a guy trying to steal a hat. So they all rush the field, some of them wielding bats.
Yeah, with bats in hands. There is a great picture, which you didn't post, which I'll post for Peter, of all the Texans running onto the field with their bats in hand. Or not all of them with bats in hand, but...
So now a large group of intoxicated fans armed with knives, chains, makeshift weapons made from their from their seating.
Oh, they're my, like, God. We got three clear plastic cups on their fingers, like the guy out of the Warriors there. Yeah.
Wonk, 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 wonk.
Warriors come out to drink. Yeah.
Rangers.
This is like the fucking final stand at, like, Barad-dûr from Lord of the Rings shot.
It's the Alamo, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So again, large group of intoxicated fans. They have knives, chains. They've created weapons from their torn stadium seats, which they've ripped out of the ground.
This one's a knife made out of soft foam padding.
It's probably got, like, a metal bracket. It's like holding the back to the armrest, right? So you just, like, peel it off. You've got like a couple of stripped screws. You can go toe to toe with a Texan with a bat any day.
This one's a gun, except it's just an armrest. But if you use your imagination, it kind of looks like a gun. So I'm gonna run out there and go, like, boo 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 boo, really get them, you know?
When you find a cool stick as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people are throwing bottles from the stands because, of course, at this point, I'm sure my parents used to tell stories of going to Expos games, which was, like, our local Montreal, and you could pay 5 cents and, like, get, like, behind, like, not an actual seat, but a place to stand where you could, like, sneak stuff in and, like, drink and smoke or whatever and just catch a game. So it's not hard to bring bottles into a game. Like, now, I'm sure if you walk into the 2-4.
Yeah, impossible. Yeah.
Who the fuck is rocking up to a game with a chain on them? Or did they just, like, pull it off the fence or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you don't understand. I got a prescription for this chain. It's for my glaucoma.
Yeah.
Of course.
They grabbed it from the trunk to get to the front of the beer line behind the stand or something. I don't know.
Yeah. If my cataracts kick in, hit me over the head with this chain, would you?
Yeah. So around 200 fans surrounded 25 Rangers players.
It's showtime.
With more,
this is what Texans are built for, though. They're gonna rock these fools. This is gonna be awesome.
Recognizing the potential danger to the Rangers' lives, the Cleveland manager Ken Aspromonte instructed his players to grab bats and assisted the Rangers, even if it meant. Confronting their own enrollee fans. They're like, we got to save the opposing team here, guys.
Like, they're going to kill them, like, for sure. For sure. They've got them fucking surrounded at this, like, fervor pitch. Like, these people are going to die. So
it's like Dunkirk.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Riders.
Yeah. If, like, it's Dunkirk, except if, like, German, like, civilians had showed up to, like, answer the call on the beach. You know what I mean? And we're like, it's fucked up what the army's doing.
Yeah, rioters started hurling steel folding chairs. Cleveland relief pitcher and Tom.
They're aluminum folding ladders for sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Cleveland relief pitcher Tom Hilgendorf was struck in the head by one of them. Mike Hargrove, after engaging in a fist fight with one of the rioters, had to fight another.
Was he 20 pounds of hot dogs? He was 20 pounds of hot dogs, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he had to fight another on his way back to the Texas dugout. So this guy's just fucking fighting his way through the crowd, trying to save the opposing team kind of thing.
Incredible.
I did do the math. It's about 200 hot dogs, 20 pounds.
Okay.
Which feels like, well, and that's not even including the bun. That's just weenies. So I feel like he probably got hit with more than 20 pounds.
Yeah, it could be.
unless
it's an unruly fans.
Yeah. So the two teams are treated
from home. It's more efficient to throw them this way.
Yeah, I brought my own hot dogs and my chain to the baseball game.
So in this bizarre game of Cowboys and Indians, they they surrounded the Rangers with the Indians.
Cowboys and Indians and alcoholics. Yeah. And the Cowboys and the Indians are on the same team now.
I used to play that game at home. I would play the Cowboy, my brother would be the Indian, and my mom would be the alcoholic. She always won. No, no, so the two teams worked together to retreat to their respective clubhouses through the dugouts, with the players protecting one another. So there's just players like back to back with their bats, like trying to fight off this crowd with like swinging chains, like makeshift weapons, ladders being swung into faces.
They got rollerblades, you know, there's a guy on the back of a flatbed truck covered with speakers and he's got all these studs and a big electric guitar and there's like flame cannon shooting off.
Yeah. They're walking.
You've got one big hot dog chained to the front of a sports car in the desert with like an IV coming into the front seat.
Baseball players backing like through the streetlights, snapping.
It's the Oscar Mayer, or it's the Wiener Mobile meets Mad Max or whatever.
So riders started throwing objects since they couldn't quite get to them anymore. This included cups, rocks, bottles, you guessed it, batteries, hot dogs, popcorn containers, folding chairs. Batteries, apparently it wasn't so uncommon to bring a radio with you back in the day.
Some people still do. Yeah. You listen to the, because you don't get the play-by-play when you go to the stadium, right? Like, just watching the game. Okay. Right. So some people will still go to sporting events and listen to the play-by-play on the radio while they watch the game.
So those old-ass radios where they pop out a chunky D battery. Which like literally probably weighed like a pound and a half or something.
Oh, dude, I have behind me, not on this side. I have behind me here. This part here of everything next to my aquarium is an old sailboat. It is an old sailboat radio.
Yeah,
it requires 4 D batteries.
You better believe
I'm gonna fuck up some Texan baseball player's day with this radio.
Attach this firecracker to the battery. Here, use my chain.
It's like a sling now.
Sling with like a battery and a firecracker attached to each other, whipped into the dugout.
Chemical warfare. A battery and a sock would be a great one. You know, you can just like a nice long sock. Weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So umpire crew Chalak, realizing that order would not be restored anytime soon, declared a forfeit in favor of Texas. So they won twice in a row, even though they were tied in this last game, which I kind of feel like Texas should have thrown in the flag. But.
So this wasn't the element.
They were going to die, so they probably should have forfeit.
It was a nice move for the Indians to kind of give them that one.
But. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you understand the umpires work for the league and not for the teams, right?
Well, I don't know.
And the umpire's like, as representative of the league, I'm like, this is fucked up on Cleveland's part. What's going on here in Cleveland?
Yeah. I mean, there was a full-on brawl in the last game. The Texas still got to win that one.
It was 3-0.
They actually won, and it wasn't fans with chains were going to murder the other team.
It's not our behavior that determines the outcome of the game. They were tied this time.
I didn't know I was dealing with two Texas fans here.
Right? Hey,
Lone Star State.
Yeah. I check in on those boys any day.
Yeah, check in on Texas. Otherwise, they'll be murdered to death in Cleveland.
Yeah, they'll be eaten by Ohioans.
The rioting continued for approximately 20 minutes. Radio broadcasters Joe Tate and Herb Score. Which
great
Herb's,
name. Holy
Herb,
fuck.
Herb Score sounds like when you're looking to pick up some weed, but...
also that, yeah.
Also true.
Yeah.
It does sound like a made-up sports announcer name, though. Like, it's too perfect, right?
Joe Tate and Herb Score. Yeah, it does. Yeah, both of them.
No, it's his real name. Herbert Jude Score.
For sure. For sure.
What the fuck? He was born in the 30s.
We probably just feel like it's the perfect sports announcer name because it's like he, you know, that was the name of sports announcers back in the day. Like the iconic sports announcers all had names like.
Yeah.
It was back in the day when you could just like walk into a place and be like, hey, my dad said I should apply here. It's like, here's a job and an executive title.
Yeah, you just grab them up, grab the mop and the help wanted sign off the little suction
exactly,
cup.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So radio broadcasters Joe Yardage and Herb Athleticism provided live coverage of the chaos.
Score is a sports term, baby. You didn't have to change it. That's why his name is good. It's Herb Score, the point guy, was a good name already.
With Score commenting on the inadequate response of the security guards. So apparently there's a 20-minute radio broadcast of just these two guys calling out what's happening. I wasn't able I didn't look for it, but I also wasn't able to find it.
Any radio?
What's the other?
Gotta be phenomenal. If you can find it, we should post it for the patrons at the very least, because that has gotta be an absolute, like, I was gonna use the expression as a, not as a pun, but now it's out there, an absolute riot to listen to.
Yeah.
Right.
It's probably a home run.
It absolutely.
Yeah.
Covers all the comedy bases.
Exactly. Tate expresses his dismay in this coverage, describing the situation as an absolute tragedy. Where's your Bugatti? Not that Tate. It's TAI Tate, thank goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
The game was much more likely to be broadcast via radio, but no records or recordings of it exist.
Oh,
burns. No
Everybody,
way.
Anyone who had recorded it chucked their batteries at the fucking pitcher.
Yeah. Everybody unloaded their radio.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ratings are really shit after about the seventh inning. I guess let's shut it down. burn the tapes. Yeah.
It's like an elaborate cover up. They burned all the reels to try and hide the fact that this had happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I was just reading there. ACRN.com, whatever this, allcampusradionetwork.com was saying, like, oh yeah, there's the possibility that the league does have the footage, but just like we'll never release it, right?
Yeah. Too bad. Eventually
the humor, MLB. Come on.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
This life,
Major laughs baseball. Ha-ha-ha.
Major laughs baseball, YOLO. Come on. YOLO. Release the tape.
French at us. We'll release it. Send it to us.
Yeah. Release the emails.
Yep. Eventually, the CDOP, or Cleveland Division of Police.
That's why that was Watergate, was Richard Nixon went in to delete the radio broadcast of the Cleveland riot. It's fairly embarrassment.
The Cleveland police shows up to restore order, and they arrest only 9 people. The Indians players escorted the Rangers to their team bus, again in their convoy, like surrounding them, just trying to help them with their baseball bats.
Their bat phalanx, basically, where they're just
They're probably protecting them more with like their stardom than with their bats, right? Like these people are probably belligerently drunk, but then also are probably like, what's going on? I love you. You're like my favorite player. I was actually looking for the Rangers when I came here with my chain. My flamethrower that I built out of a stadium seat and some pressurized beer cans. So if you see a Ranger, you let me know, bro, because I'd love to just like set them on fire, you know.
I just wanted to kill him. That's it. Why can't I
not
do that,
you, bro? No, you. I'm sorry that I came in so hot. You want to go get a drink, dude? The trucks are just open. You just like the trucks are just. Oh, they're letting anyone just fucking take them, man.
Yeah, since journalism these days has been so bad, I really like the sentence. Maybe this guy was a cool guy back in the day, but a local sports writer, Dan Coughlin of the Chronicle Telegram, attempted to interview fans, but he was punched in the face twice.
Oh, twice?
Yeah. Okay. He's like, hey, what do you think about the situation?
Yeah.
Bam!
You. Yeah.
send that guy to Vietnam. He's gonna get great footage.
But you can't get shot by the Viet Cong in the face twice.
No, exactly. But he's got the chutzpah to at least try.
Yeah.
The first punch, he's like, "I'm going back in."
Yeah. Cleveland's general manager Phil Seggy placed blame on the umpires for losing control of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There was two umpires, right? It's just like he thought 501 was bad for the security. What is fucking 12,500-1 going to do for the umpires?
No. Listen, that hot dog conductivity rule was bullshit. Okay, the umpires had no business calling that. The game spiraled out of control from there. The rubber chicken defense is no defense. Okay, that was an out. The game goes entirely different if you know the umpires were just had their fucking head screwed onto their shoulders that day. I swear to God.
Had nothing to do with the 10-cent beer. Everything to do with the umpires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alcohol is legal, therefore harmless.
Yeah.
Obviously. It was the weed. It was the reefer madness in the stadium, I think, personally.
The Sporting News countered Seggy's perspective, suggesting that it could have been different if he'd been in Chillak's position amidst the chaos of knife-wielding, bottle-throwing, chair-tossing, fist-swinging, intoxicated individuals.
I mean, honestly, if the umpires would just, like, chillax a little, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, the chillax. Chillax, dude.
Oh, that's, is that chillax?
It's C-H-Y-L-A-K.
Chillax. I have no idea what that means.
It's the guy's name.
Yeah, it's a name, dude. I don't know what that
I thought you said the. I heard you say the shellac, and I was like, what? Because shellac's like a coating. And
watching the confusion on Peter's face as he tried to understand a proper noun. Dostoevsky? What the fuck could that mean? Is that like some kind of weird bear, dude?
Yeah. It's an adverb. It's a way you do something.
Yeah.
American League president Lee McPhail.
Oh, yeah.
With a PH, but yeah. It seems like he McPhailed his people here. he acknowledged the role of beer in the riot, stating there was no question that beer played a play. Like, what is the other people like? Why do they not accept the beer? Are they up for a DUI on this thing? No. The beer had nothing to do with it.
All I had spin, man.
One at the second inning, and yeah. I'm driving my wife home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I left in the second inning. I don't think the beer was a problem. Everybody was having a good time. Yeah, yep. everyone was vibing, you know what I mean? Everyone had 4 6-packs and we're feeling good.
My final sentence for this story, the subsequent beer night promotion on July 18th of that same year attracted 41,000, almost 42,000 people. And they offered beer at the reduced price of 10 cents a cup, but the limit of 2 cups per person for the entire game. So
total or can you only 2 at a time?
2 total.
Two total at the 10 cents. Yeah, that's they learned their mistake by bottomless cup for a 9-inning game.
I'm surprised they didn't run out of beer, because after people left, there must have still been 15,000 people there drinking directly out of the truck.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They made it to the 9th inning, right? That's whenever everything went down. Maybe that's why the riot started. There was no more beer to drink. Who knows?
Yeah.
Incredible. That's been 10 Cent Beer Night. It is a big story in sports and drinking. And even though none of us are particularly baseball people, I don't think we've all heard of it. And it's something to know about.
Yeah. It's one of those like hilarious. It's one of those hilarious tragedies, like I said at the top, like Fire Festival or.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like anything. Or Woodstock 99, which has a great thing on Netflix. Of just like all just the people planning it made every single wrong decision and the most obvious thing happened. And it's so entertaining, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know how you plan, like an organization that big is planning that event for months, right? Ahead of time. How does nobody ask the question like, well, what if people get too drunk? What if this is too much beer for people, you know?
The 10-cent beer thing may have been a snap decision because they didn't do it in Texas, right?
Yeah, I think it might have been like in response to the Texas brawl. And they're like, well, we got to fill people up. We've already done the nickel beer a few years ago. So let's call all our beer fucking people and let's get them in for this week. But I don't know.
I don't know either, but yeah, it it strikes me as just like a how do we spice up the home game sort yeah. of thing. And not so much a, all right, so 5 months from now, we're going to do 10-cent beers because yeah. Nixon's going to be impeached and then inflation's going to be 12%.
Inflation's going to go wild.
Everything was just too perfect for that day, even though they had won a nickel beer years previous. Just all the, it was the perfect storm for a bunch of people to take some chains and batteries and go fuck up some professional athletes. So.
Yeah, right. I mean, in defense of the people, they were going through a tough time.
Yeah, man. So honestly, yeah, I don't have a job to go tomorrow. Why don't I drink $2 worth of beer and try to assault a person?
What date was this?
1974.
Yeah, like day of the week. I want to see, because if it was like Thursday, 1974, and everybody's getting drunk enough to attack baseball players, you know it's the unemployment, right?
Yeah, I don't have the date, but you could. I'm sure it's out there.
January 1st. The date, December 25th.
Yeah, I was conceived between those two dates, probably, with a birthday of October 1st.
It was June 4th, 1974.
June 4th. Oh, it was nice and hot outside in Milwaukee, or yeah,
Ohio.
Milwaukee.
in the break, you're reading the alternate brands for the Stroh beer. One of them was Milwaukee. I meant to say Cleveland there, yes.
Yeah, that would do it.
What
would
day
do
it of the week was it? It was Tuesday. So yeah, Tuesday, everybody's hungover on Wednesday. It's all good.
Yeah, you're not going into work.
No, well, they all lost their jobs at the drinking beer factory or wherever they work. So
whatever they do in Ohio.
Yeah.
Why would they lose it? I feel like you'd get a promotion at the drinking beer factory. Yeah, I was doing extra credit last night. I should get overtime.
I attacked an umpire with a chain. It's like, our new CEO.
Yeah. All to say, this has been our episode. If you want more real life lore, let me know. It's stuff that I really enjoy doing, like Pinball Action Park, this kind of stuff.
Phoenix Jones.
Let me know if you have any other types of like events or real life things you'd like me to cover. If not, if you hate these things, let us know either way. But you can find us in the Discord in the link. Our website's kind of funky right now, so I'm not sure you can find anything on the website. But
the link still works. My bookmark automatically took care of itself. The link to the site still works.
Link to the site underneath the episode. Go for it.
Sure. If you guys like the show, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice or telling your friends. We don't advertise the show. It's the only way we grow. If you want to join the conversation, suggest some topics for James, myself, for Peter at any point, click the Discord link in the description below. Join the conversation. And you don't have to be super present if you don't want to be. If you want to just pop in and say hi or send us a message, feel free to. No pressure.
I like overshare most of my life. I'm like, this is what I'm cooking tonight. This is what I'm playing tonight. I tried this and I died here. So if you just want to like stalk me, get in the Discord because I'll just give you all the personal details of my life.
Get in the Discord. Would you? Would you do?
I'll tell you about my bad habits because it makes me feel responsible to vocalize them.
Yeah. Pete, what's going on? I pop into tabletop lore every now and then and talk about tabletop stuff. Pete, what's going on in the world of Instagram?
At Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. We are at 993 followers at time of recording. I will draw porn at 1,000. It's going to be Bionicle porn. We decided that on community night, so there will be no actual nudity. But I need 7 more followers. So after
you could just rip this picture that you posted in our private boys chat of Cloth from Hollow Knight pegging the Traitor Lord boss from Hollow Knight.
That's going in the episode bonus picks for the patrons.
No, for sure. The patrons, speaking of patrons, if you want to join the Patreon, patreon.com/lorebush, where you'll get to see the aforementioned. Oh my God, it's a lot more graphic than I realized.
Can I post this?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's some censor stuff, me. We could tastefully censor that.
Yeah, we could put
Photoshop.
Put red lines on her nipples.
Yeah, little red lines on it. Exactly. if you want to see what the fuck we're talking about, you want to see the art for this episode that we've kind of been discussing, like the XKCD what if you threw a baseball at the speed of light picture I mentioned, or if you want to get access to bonus content, we have 45 minutes coming out tomorrow at time of release, so go ahead and pop in to patreon.com/theloreboys if you want to check that out, see if the pricing is right for you. And if you have any questions, just come to Discord and ask us about it. If you don't trust Patreon, of course, we have Lore Boys Prime, where we are looking for people capable of throwing 20 pounds of hot dogs at a time. Okay. We're going to be setting new records at baseball games coming up. They refuse to bring back the Expos. So we'll be driving down to the Toronto to go to Blue Jays games and throw packs of, 200 hot dogs at people. 200 hot dogs at a time. Yeah. You got to be able to throw about between 50 and 100 yards. So
we are Lester's 200 pack straight down the down to the home.
You can hammer toss it where you do like the spin there, you know,
Bit
of momentum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And then eventually you'll be throwing JB over a fence.
So, hell yeah, man.
The first one to achieve it will win his hand in marriage as well. So,
you can't catch me throwing hot dogs. I'm going to be at the back. I'm going to have made a fire out of chairs or whatever. And we're going to be having a nice old weenie roast back there.
We're going to
be enjoying them. Yeah.
The two tribes of Lord of the Flies. You've got Jamie the Colin and Ethan and I are the savages throwing 20 pounds of hot dogs at people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rolling 20 pounds of hot dogs down a hill to crush someone.
Ethan's going to put a spear up my butt and throw me off onto a rock or something. That's all I remember from Lord of the Flies. Yeah.
That was always the plan. You described the death of two different children.
Isn't that Piggy?
Simon gets speared. Piggy gets crushed.
Yeah.
Okay. I combined them in my brain.
You did. Anyway, I think that would constitute a lore boys.
Lore boys.
You're out.
Oh, that's good.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.